The Apostle Paul said three things in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7. And I want you to look at that verse with me. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse number 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Before I got saved, I remember I used to be rumbles in the jungles in the south side of L.A. Had a lot of fights. My daddy said, if you're going to fight, you better win, because don't come home until you win. So I made sure every time I got in a fight that I won. Amen? Because you raised with 10 brothers and one sister, brother. There, you don't get to eat if you don't fight well. Praise the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul's talking to young Timothy. Like I'm talking, I'm the Apostle Paul, and I'm talking to Brother Pineda, young man, young family. And I'm talking to the young church. Amen? I'm talking to the church. First, the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy in the church, I have fought a good fight. Paul had a lot of experience in battles. He had a lot of experience in the ministry. He's been there and done that. That's what he's saying. Secondly, he says, I have finished my course. Paul said, I'm just about done. I'm just about had it, and I'm finishing my course. Amen? Then thirdly, he says, I have fought a good, I have kept the faith. He said, I have kept the faith. What is the faith? The faith is the Word of God. Yeah. It is the Word of God. Which book? The KJV 1611. This is the Word of God. Are you with me so far? And this is the book that we use in Socorro Baptist Temple. Notice these five little words. I have kept the faith. There are very few men of God today who stay true to their youthful convictions for the span of their entire life. I'm going to give you a few men. Maybe you don't know them, but I'm going to give you a few men that I've known. One of them was Ted Hicks. The other one was Curtis Goldman. The other one was Dr. Wayne James. The other one was Dr. Jack Baskin, a great man of God. He was a missionary to Korea. And he'd always preach this way. He said, if I'm not basking, I'm not asking. That was him, brother. And he had a thumb to raise money. He raised thousands and thousands of dollars for preachers. And he did a great work. And there was also my preacher, Pastor Hay, who was my mentor years ago. And he said this, if you're going to build a great church, praise the Lord. But go door to door and raise money, because that's where the gold's at, because people have gold in their mouth. Amen? And that's how you reach people. If you want a good church, go door to door. Reach people with the gospel. Now, very few are men also who go through the entirety of a lifetime and stay true to the convictions of their youth, to the doctrines of the Word of God. Unfortunately, when their children grow up, many of these men decide that they do not want to force their children to face the stigma of a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist position. They are leaving the faith. Yeah. Hello, are you with me? I'm old school. I believe the old ways. Amen. I believe you're going to build a solid work, a King James Bible solid work. You need to keep it real. Praise the Lord for that. So the church, as you grow older like I am, it causes some to become weary and tired. You see a lot of preachers quitting and retiring at the age of 70 to 72. I'm not going to retire. I wouldn't know what to do, brother, if I retired. This is what I do. I'm not going to stay in the golf course every weekend. Hello, are you with me? God's called me to pastor. God's called me to preach. As long as my health is up. And I thank God for my wife. Because she makes me get up at 6 o'clock. We try to do this three times a week. To go around the park. Walk around the park three times. And we try to go 2 miles if we can. I barely can make it a mile and a half, brother. But we try. We forget sometimes because we're tired. Amen, sweetheart? But we try sometimes. Now, but we got to do it again. Amen? We got to do it again. I mean, we want to be more beloved in later years. So very few stay true to their youthful convictions and their doctrine all through their lives. Many churches are changing their name. They used to be Independent Bible Believing Baptist. They're changing their name like to Southwest Church, Sierra Vista Church, Community Church, or Brand New Church. Have you heard of that one before? Yeah, I talked to a preacher one time and I said, what's the name of your church? Brand New Church. I said, I know it's a Brand New Church. Brother, you just told me that. What's the name of your church? He said, Brand New Church. I, oh, golly, brother. Come, I understand that. You told me it's a Brand New Church. What's the name of your church? He said, Brand New Church. That's the name of it. He took the name Baptist off and he called it Brand New Church. There's another church in Sacramento, California. It's called Verde Baptist Church. Its positions concerning it believes the King James Bible. They have a soul winning program. They live separated lives. They're dedicated to the work of God. But they believe that the church is going to be raptured in the middle of the tribulation period. This is an independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. Far as I'm concerned, they changed positions. Amen? And they're no longer, to me, an independent Baptist church. Because an independent Baptist church believes the premillennial of the rapture. That means that the rapture is going to take place before the 7-year tribulation starts. Are you with me? A lot of preachers are going this way. As we get closer to the end of times, and by the way, you better look around you, things are happening, and it's happening fast. Tonight is a super moon, the blood moon tonight, sometime. And they say every time you see a new blood moon, that means that something's happening to Israel. Something's happening to Israel. That might be true. That might be true. But there's a lot of things happening to America. Yeah. Amen? We need to take a stand for what's right. We need to take a stand for doctrine. We believe in the Trinity of the Word of God. We believe in the virgin birth of the Word of God. And we can't change that position. Now let's look at Paul in his old age. Now he's an old man of God and he's dying. He rejoices in three things as he hears the footsteps of those who are coming to execute him. Here he writes here on his fourth missionary journey. He says, first of all, he rejoices in the fact that he has fought a good fight. Brother, I don't know about you, but I don't got that many years coming. But I'm rejoicing right now. I'm tired, believe me. But I'm rejoicing that God is still using me in the fundamental ranks. God is still using me in the fundamental ranks. I'm tired. I get weary. I get tired. But I rejoice. I haven't changed my position. Secondly, he rejoices in the fact that he has finished his course. Thirdly, he rejoices in the fact that he has kept the faith. Listen, church. The faith is a package. And Paul delivered that package to the next generation without anything missing. I was with my sons at a park yesterday. My granddaughter had a birthday party at Fernandez Park. And I was there and they came up to me and said, Dad, what do you think about being an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist? I said, what do you mean, what do I think? I still believe the same way. Why, are you changing? I'm not changing, brother. I'm staying the same. Hello. I'm not going to change my position. I believe in dressing for success. Hello, are you with me? I believe in standards. I believe in all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, where I'm at, brother, we got nothing but cowboys. Amen. And they're a whole lot different ballgame than me. But I told them one time, I said, listen to me, I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I'm an old preacher, and I'm not going to change for you, and you're not going to change for me. You're not going to get me on a horse, and I'm not going to get you on a lowrider. How's that? There's a young man with his boyish face and his bright eyes. The Apostle Paul kept the faith. As a mature man with his romance of life and love, the Apostle Paul kept the faith. as a middle-aged man ruling his small empire, he kept the faith. As an old man with a thorn in his flesh and unsure steps, the Apostle Paul keeps the faith. Now, as a dying man with his fleeting breath, he keeps the faith. Amen. Brothers, Paul is saying, through all of these years, from my youth to my old age, I have grabbed the faith, I have kept the faith as a complete package. He said, I'm not changing. You know, as you get older, some of you senior saints, as you get older, you get softer. Amen? My grandkids asked me to pray at Denny's one time, and I was praying. After I prayed, he goes, Grandpa, you're getting soft. They asked me, what do you mean? I said, you don't pray as loud as you used to pray. I said, well, how did I pray? He said, I remember when we used to go to a restaurant, you would skip there with all the family and everybody would be around you. Oh, Lord, bless this food. And everybody would look at me. And they would go underneath the table like that, too. No, I haven't gotten soft. I just got more wiser. Amen? And they don't understand that. They say, oh, Grandpa's getting soft. Now, it is not always easy, folks. When you get older in life, it is not always easy to keep the faith. It becomes harder as one grows older. You look more deeply and desire to offend less. You want to be loved more as you grow older. Your logic improves and is easily captured by your vanity. And this makes it harder to keep the faith. Trials multiply and tempt you to doubt, making it harder to keep the faith. You feel less secure and wonder more about your financial future as you grow older, and it becomes harder to keep the faith. Amen? How many of you agree with that? Some of you young bucks can't agree with that, but you're going to get there. Praise the Lord. However, men, listen to me. Ladies, listen to me. Teens, listen to me. The old Apostle Paul states that not only have I fought a good fight and finished my course, but I also kept the faith to fight until the finish. That's good. I remember an old man when I pastored in Berlin, Iglesia Baptista, Calvary Baptist Church there in Berlin. I remember when I pastored that church, I was young. I think I was not older than 28 years old, somewhere in there. And I was young. Back then I had good looks. Back then I had it all together. I ain't got it all together no more. But I remember an old man. I had took the youth to a bowling night, and we were coming back, and I was tired because the bus blew up, and we were there till 4 o'clock in the morning. We finally got all the youth home, and I was ready to go to bed at 5 o'clock, brother, 5:30. And then there's a knock on my door. 5:30. Who in the world is going to be knocking my door at 5:30 in the morning? There was this old veteran preacher. He was looking like this. He said, Brother Hernandez, if you're in there, get your britches on because I want to talk to you. Oh, Brother Wisnot, a 90-year-old preacher who planted many churches. He planted about 50 churches. Oh, Wisnot. He said, I heard about you, and I want to sit down and give you a piece of my mind. Oh, Brother Wisnot died last year. He died at the age, I think they said, of 92 years of age. But he kept the faith. He might have been older, too, by then, but he was an older man, and he kept the faith. But Brother Wisnot was a mentor because he was a man of God who walked with God. Who walked with God. Now, however, the Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight unto the finish. Now, he has held the faith in smooth young hands. He has held the faith in strong, sturdy hands. Now he holds the faith in dying, frailing hands. But he's kept the faith. He has seen others fall by the wayside. Amen. A lot of Christians of the day are falling by the wayside. He remembers young John Mark, Demas, and others. Yet the old man of God says, I have kept the faith. Now the question then must be answered, what is the faith? What is it? The faith is that great body of truth that Paul believed bound together by the unity of purpose. The faith is not just salvation. The faith is the virgin birth that includes the perfection, sinless life of Christ, the victorious death of Christ, the inerrant, infallible, and preservation of the King James 1611, the bodily resurrection of our Lord, the high priesthood of Christ seated at the right hand of God, the second coming of Christ, amen, the millennial of the rapture. Christ is coming back, folks. And he's coming back pretty quick here. The way things are, you better keep your eye on the eastern sky because your redemption draweth nigh. There's no hope in the dope. Did you get that? There's no hope in the dope, which is the Pope. Hello. Emerging, baptism by immersion, local church, the propagation of the gospel. He had kept the faith. The faith includes living a life of separation from sin and walking circumspectly in the world. So, preacher, the faith, not only simply faith, but the faith is a package of truth bound together. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's dying. He's dying. He reminds us that not only has he fought a good fight, not only has he finished the course, but he also kept the faith while fighting and finishing. In other words, everything that was handed down to him as a young man when God called him has been kept just as it was given in the first place. I remember a time you were talking about teaching a Sunday school. I remember a time in my life in New Testament Baptist Church. They were having a revival upstairs. And during the first hour of Sunday school, they asked me to teach four-year-olds downstairs in the basement. There was other classes besides mine. And he said, Brother Hernandez, we want you to teach four-year-olds. I says, how do you teach four-year-olds? Here's the packet. Go learn. They didn't give me no training, brother. So I took all those four-year-olds and I put them in a room, had a little pulpit, wood pulpit, and I started preaching the hell out of them. Yeah, I started preaching on hell. That's what I did. I was preaching on hell. That's what I was doing. I said, if you don't get saved today, you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. You should have seen those little kids. They were freaking out, brother. And I was preaching to them like I was preaching to 1,000. And Pastor Hayes said, go downstairs. Something's wrong with Brother Hernandez. And the deacons came downstairs. And I said, I'm having revival. I don't know about you guys up there, but I'm having revival down there. I was preaching the hell out of those boys and girls. Amen. And they were getting mad. I mean, those kids were going like this. They got so convicted, they all hit the altar and got saved. Amen. That'll scare you. Amen. Especially with my face. And so they went home and told their parents that Brother Hernandez said that if you don't get saved, Mom and Daddy, you're going to go to hell. That didn't go over too well. They called the pastor of the church. My preacher called me in the office and said, what did you teach down there? I preached on hell. You didn't give me a subject, so I preached on hell. I remember what you said. If you don't have another sermon or can't get with you, you can always preach on the second coming or preach on hell. Amen? So I preached on hell. And he said, well, you scared the daylights out of those kids. I said, did those parents come to church? Yeah, they came to church, all right. They came to church and we were having revival, so I had to correct everything you said. I said, preacher, I'm just keeping the faith. One of our doctrines is we believe in hell. Yeah. He didn't know what to tell me. So he promoted me to a higher class. Then he promoted me to the teenagers. Oh, you didn't want me in those teenagers. Those teenagers are too abnormal for me. They think they're normal, but they're not. They're abnormal. You ever get two teenage boys to go play basketball? Man, they just like each other. Come on, come on. It's like your boy. Any guy come around the alley, man, he'll pick up. Come on, let's play. You get two girls together, two teenage girls together, they go, let's see if I like her or not. Huh? Isn't that the way it is? Praise the Lord. But he kept the faith. Everything that was handed down to me as a young man, in the first place, he kept the faith. So the question is, should be asked, what was it in that package of faith that the Apostle Paul kept? Well, he kept the faith intact. He kept the faith intact by not adding to the faith, improving the faith, subtracting from the faith, or refining the faith. He just kept the faith. He did not say, I have printed a new Bible to tell the faith. No. He said, I've kept the faith. Hey, man, he held the same Bible when he was young, and he had the same Bible when he was old. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have finished, I have guarded the faith by keeping the faith intact. I was given a package, and the context are still the same. Amen? He kept the faith in order. That's the second thing. The right Bible order is this. Friendship, love, marriage, children. Amen. The right Bible order is salvation, baptism, church membership, and the Lord's Supper. Amen. The right order in education, maturity. Amen. Then marriage, work, money, then buy, education, preparation, and then life's work for the rest of your life. The Apostle Paul is saying that he kept the faith in its proper priority. Paul won people to Christ. He baptized them and then trained them to do the same. That's what we're supposed to do. All I'm saying is this, when you spend your life spreading the message of redeeming grace, you will be far more effective in fighting abortion. Paul was once given the faith, and he kept the faith intact. Amen? Amen. I'm against abortion. Amen. You know, we got a lot of politicians. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to ask you which one you're going to vote for. I'm not going to ask you. But somebody asked me one time, what do you think about Donald Trump? Somebody asked me one time, what do you think about Donald Trump? You really want to know? They go, you're going to get mad at me. No, I won't, Brother Hernandez, but I want to know. You really want to know? He go, yeah, I'll tell you what he is. He's not a politician. He's not. Listen to the way he talks. He doesn't talk like Ted Cruz. He doesn't talk like that. He just lets it out, amen? Just says what he's thinking. Boom, it's just there. But you see, people are not looking for a politician. They're looking for something different. That's what they're looking for. And by the way, he don't need the government's money. He's got all he can, brother. He can buy his way through the presidency. Think about that. But here's what I would like to see. Take it. Ted Cruz for president and Donald Trump for vice president. Why? Because he got a lot of money. Why would you want Ted Cruz? He's a Baptist. He's got morals. He lives a Christian life. Look at his life. He says he's a born-again believer. He's proud to say it. He believes the book. And he wants to serve the Lord as president of the United States. And he wants to bring America back to God. Now, brother, that's better than Obama, your mama. Amen. Isn't it? Man, we don't need another Muslim in the presidency. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not a politician. I'm going back to the scripture. He kept the faith. So Somebody asked me, Brother Hernandez, how come you in Socorro you run for a city manager, a congressman in the city of Socorro? I said, number one, God didn't call me to be a politician. He called me to be a preacher. Amen. I ain't got time for that junk. Yeah. Amen. I'm a preacher. Brothers and sisters, listen to this. Every Tuesday, every Thursday morning, I have been allowed to go to the high school and pray in all the locker rooms of the high school. I've been allowed to go and pray that the college, that the high school would turn around, amen? That souls will be saved, that young people will come to know the Lord as a personal Savior. I have been allowed to do that in Socorro. That's heard of, that's unheard of. But I've been allowed to do that. I meet teachers that come up to me, ask me, what are you doing? I said, I'm having a shouting fit with God, and I'm praying for you to get right with God. That's what I'm doing. Hello. Not only that, I was asked maybe, just maybe, if the board will allow it, that I become a chaplain to the high school. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. I'm going to tell you, in Socorro, they allow Bible studies in the public school. You don't see that here in Albuquerque. Unless your pastor goes to a high school and starts praying for that high school. Amen. Praise the Lord. That God will change the high school. Our high schools need to change. Our high schools need God, brother. Amen. He kept the faith in motion. Paul kept on telling it and spreading it. So he kept the faith in motion. He kept the faith intact, in order, in motion. Paul said, I believe the virgin birth years ago when I was saved. I believe the perfect sinless life of Christ when I was saved. I believe in the victorious death of Jesus Christ years ago when I was saved. I believe in once saved, always saved years ago when I was saved. I believe in the local church years ago when I was saved. I believe in the copy of the Word of God years ago when I was saved. I believe in the living separated life years ago when I was saved. And church, I still believe it. I have kept the faith intact, in order and in motion, and I'm not changing for nobody. Are you with me? Amen. The Apostle Paul, he kept the faith. Amen. Now, listen to me very carefully, and I'm closing. Paul did not divert into a deeper life movement and let the world go to hell. He didn't do that. I mean, these deeper lifers talk about how much Bible they know, yet they have never discovered the Great Commission. Yeah. These self-presto fundamentalists join the movement, yet they gladly proselyte our converts, those led to the Lord by our soul winners, amen, and baptize in our church and educate our Bible institutes, our colleges. They're letting them in, brother, and we need to change it. How? We need to keep those Bible institutes going for the honor and glory of God. We need to keep the faith. Amen. They steal our sheep, all the while preaching against the very truth of personal soul winning, yeah, that brought about the converts' salvation in the first place. Hey, don't change. Don't change. You have the name Liberty Baptist Church. Yeah. Don't change. Every time a person in our church wants to get baptized, I ask them, do you know what a Baptist is? And I explain to them what a Baptist is. Amen. You get them saved, you get them baptized, you add them to the local church, you disciple them, you set them out. Praise the Lord. Church, there are a lot of Christians today that I believe with all of my heart, that all of my heart, believe that you cannot win a soul to Christ in one conversion. Yes, you can. Yeah. Yes, you can. Have they forgotten the thief on the cross? Come on. The woman at the well?
Yeah.
The Philippian jailer? Zacchaeus?
Amen.
Paul did not promote anything but was given to him in the first place. He said, I've kept the faith. When I was young, I have continued to keep the faith through my life. I have kept the same faith now that I'm dying, and I have kept the faith when I was young. I'm not changing. I'm keeping the faith. Hello. Many of you, you're young right now. You're starting church here. I hope you're here 30 years from now.
Amen.
I hope you stay strong in serving the Lord. I hope nothing diverts you. I can guarantee it. Listen to me. Listen to preacher. Listen to this wise man here. If you stay faithful for years, this place will be packed.
Yeah.
I'm going to close with this. When I was young, I was born and raised a Catholic. Yeah. I went to catechism school. I went to the Catholic school. My daddy was a bus driver at the Catholic school. Yeah. One day, I was sitting right here. My pastor was right there. And there was a priest right there. Now listen to this. That priest got up and he was holding a Bible. I haven't seen one like that no more. Have you seen one with a Bible? He got up with his priestly robe. He walked up to the platform. He said, "Turn your Bibles to so and so." That's what he said. But I the only time I hear priests do this, they say, "I bless, I can play Peter Bengal better than you can. Amen. Or I believe I can drink more wine better than you can. Amen." I don't know what they're saying in Latin. That preacher got up there and he started preaching the Word of God. When he was preaching the Word of God, brother, he was talking about the pieces of the garments, every piece that meant in the Roman Catholicism and what the Scripture had to say about it. At the end of his message, I was so impressed. My eyeballs were glued on him. He took this Bible and he said, "I'm no longer a priest. I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Baptist preacher."
Amen.
And all the garments were on the floor. You know what I did? I was so fired up, brother, that I want to see all the Catholics born again. Amen?
Yeah.
So I took a bunch of tracts, and I went to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I put tracts in the Eucharist. I put them in the sweat boxes. You know what those are? Confessional booths. I put them in the sermonettes. I put them with those statues, and those statues bled or move. I'm gone. But I put them there. I went across town. I went to Our Lady of St. Francis. And I put tracts there too. I put them all over. I was on fire for the Lord. Still am. Just slower pace. And I did that, and my pastor got a call. He called me up. Anytime you go to a pastor's office, it's not for promotion most of the time. It's for a demotion. He's always got to say something about you. You remember that young preacher? And he called me in the office. He sat me down. He said, "Brother Hernandez, can I talk to you?" "Yes, preacher." Would you like a glass of water?" I was scared, brother. Why, am I going on death row? He said, "Sit down, I want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." So I sat down. I said, "Yes, sir. What can I do for you, preacher?" Real spiritual, real spiritual. He said, "The next time you camouflage the Catholic Church, and I wish you would do more of that, I need more preachers like you that are willing to take the gospel no matter where." He said, "But the next time you go soul winning, would you do me a favor?" I said, "Yes, sir. Anything to get out of this office." He said, "Would you please take the tracts without my picture on it?" His picture was all over the Catholic churches. Amen. Didn't stop there. One more. The next day I get a call from the Catholic Church. It's the priest. "I want to see you in my office pronto." I said, "I'll be there with bells on." The next day I went. I went to the priest's office and asked him, "What can I do for you, sir?" He said, "No, I'm not sir, I'm your father." I said, "No, I have one father which is in heaven. You're just a man." Whoa, he had a big old crush. I thought he was from the mafia or something. Looked all communist looking, you know what I'm saying? And I asked, "What can I do for you?" He goes, "I'm going to let you know right now. If you don't stop giving these gospel tracts to the neighborhood all over here, if you stop, I'm going to make sure that you go to hell." I said, "How are you going to do that?" I said, I'm going to pray you in hell. I said, you can't pray me in hell. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. I'm headed for heaven. Amen, brother. You're going to go to hell for lying to the church. He got mad. He really got mad at me, brother. He said, you have left me no choice but to go tell all of our aunties what you're doing. You see, he was my cousin. Hey, I have kept the faith.
Amen.
I'm not afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you shouldn't either.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of family, because that's all they are. They're human just like anybody else.
Yeah.
Tell them about Jesus. You want to start revival in this church? Go tell them about the Lord no matter what. And tell them that Jesus Christ died for them. And do it in a loving way. Don't do it like I did it. But do it in a loving way. Amen. Because they need to get saved.
That's right.
Paul said, I kept the what? Let's stand. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. You say, preacher, on the authority of God's word, if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Here's my hand as a testimony. I'm saved. Yes. Would you raise them? I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Put them down. Now, here's my next question. Are you keeping the faith? Are you strong? Are you a strong believer? Or are you a weak believer? Say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Is there one? I'm going through a lot of trials, tribulations, heartache. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Is there others? Is there others? The devil's attacking me. Is there others? Yes. Is there others? Hands are raised all over this building. Let me tell you something. You're no different than I or the Apostle Paul or anybody else. If you've been a Christian as long as I have, you have fought the devil. The devil has kicked you. Things have not gone very well. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, that old devil wants to kick us and put us down. But you know what keeps me going? It's the prayers of the saints. It's people praying for me. And I'm going to ask you tonight to come to an old-fashioned altar and start praying for people to be saved. Start praying for your preacher, the pastor's wife, and start praying for your church and your family that God will revolutionize them to get saved. As the piano's playing, if God spoke to your heart, would you come?